You're listening to Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno, supported by Homewatch Caregivers, whose mission is to preserve dignity, protect independence, and provide peace of mind for their clients and loved ones by providing exceptional home care.
97.9 FM WCHL is pleased to present Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno. Nicole has over 15 years of experience as a geriatric social worker and administrator, working in the long-term care industry to include skilled nursing care, Alzheimer's care, adult daycare, and home care. She also worked as a family caregiver. In addition, Nicole co-founded a nonprofit in the Triangle that specializes in support for caregivers. Now, Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno.
Thank you for joining us today for this episode of Caring Connections on WCHL. Today, we will be discussing Alzheimer's Medications 101 with Dr. Jenny Byrne, owner and psychiatrist of Cognitive Psychiatry of Chapel Hill. Welcome, Jenny.
Hi, Nicole. How are you?
Good. I'm so glad to have you here. This is a confusing world we live in with all these medications, with new ones coming out all the time, and just glad that you're going to be able to help us decipher all that. What Jenny brought with her today were some of the top 10 things that people don't know about this topic, but probably should, and I'm just going to highlight a few of them here. One is that there are no medications that will cure Alzheimer's dementia.
Correct. Sadly.
Is that a misnomer sometimes? Do people think it will?
I think people hope that there are medications to cure it, but currently we don't have any.
Okay. And that there are two main types of medications. Could you explain what that means?
Right now, there are two classes of medication which are approved for Alzheimer's dementia.
Okay.
The first class works on a chemical called acetylcholine.
Okay.
And the long name is acetylcholinesterase inhibitor.
Boy, that's a mouthful.
That's the chemical name. The more common names you're familiar with are things like Aricept is the brand name for donepezil, or Razadyne is the brand name for galantamine, or Exelon is the brand name for rivastigmine. And these medications all work on acetylcholinesterase.
Okay.
And the idea basically is that there are neurons in the brain that use a chemical and they degenerate in Alzheimer's disease, and these medications help regenerate some of that chemical.
Okay.
The second class of medications approved for Alzheimer's are called NMDA antagonist. And the main one you may have heard of is Namenda, which is the brand name for memantine.
Okay.
And these have a different pathway of action. These work on a receptor in the brain called NMDA, which is a glutamate receptor. And the idea here is that Alzheimer's disease has an improper activation of glutamate, and that this medication helps to kind of tone that down.
Okay.
So these are the two classes we have right now.
Okay. So hopefully more someday.
Yes.
To make things more confusing. Okay. But the one thing that you did point out in your top 10 is that medication for Alzheimer's can help slow the decline of memory loss.
This is probably one of the biggest questions I get in my practice. People have an idea that the medications will make their memory what it used to
get
be.
Better.
Or get better.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, this is not the case. There is a small minority of people whose memory may improve when they start the medicine.
Okay.
But for the majority of people, what it does is it helps slow the decline over time.
Okay.
So Alzheimer's disease is typically a slowly progressing memory loss.
Okay.
And the medication is designed to help slow that progression down. So for example, if your memory is progressively getting worse to the point where you can't care for yourself, this medication might give you an extra 6 months until the time which you can't care for yourself. So it helps to slow it, but it doesn't really improve it per se.
Okay. And then the last one of your top 10 that I just wanted to highlight, which I think is an important one and often gets confused, is that Alzheimer's medications do not help with psychiatric problems.
Again, there's a minority of people for which they can help.
Okay.
But for many people, the medication does not help with the secondary problems of Alzheimer's, and these are very common. These are things like depression, anxiety, apathy, which is kind of a lack of emotion, lack of motivation. Often there's sleep problems. Sometimes there's agitation, which is when the person gets either physically agitated or kind of psychologically agitated.
Mm-hmm.
Or it can even get to the point where they have unusual symptoms like hearing strange things or seeing strange things,
sure.
being paranoid. So these medications are more designed to help the memory issue, and they don't normally help with the other problems.
Okay. Well, good things to know. So are there any medications that can prevent Alzheimer's disease?
No, unfortunately. So there's a lot of research right now, which is pretty exciting, actually, on preventing Alzheimer's.
Mm-hmm.
So trying to identify who in the population is at risk
sure.
for developing it,
mm-hmm.
and then targeting those people. And there's even a trial right now where they're trying to develop a vaccine type of medication.
Mm-hmm. That's sort of been going on for a while, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. And it has mixed reviews.
Sure.
But that's a very, I think, exciting area mm-hmm. of research that maybe in the next 5 years or so will have some results.
Okay. So no medications that can prevent, but we do know that there's things that we can do that hopefully can help prevent it as far as health and exercise and things like dietary. Mm-hmm. So you've already touched on that you can't cure it. What about the most common ones to treat Alzheimer's? Could you talk a few minutes about mm-hmm. what those are? I'm sure most people have heard the names, the brand names.
Right. So again, there's two main classes.
Right.
The first class is FDA approved for mild all the way to severe dementia.
Mm-hmm.
Those are Aricept, Razadyne, and Exelon. Those are the brand names.
Okay.
The generic names are donepezil, galantamine, and rivastigmine.
Okay.
And those are the ones that are called acetylcholinesterase inhibitors.
Okay.
The second main class is Namenda, brand name, generic memantadine, and this targets an NMDA receptor, mm-hmm. which is a glutamate receptor in the
mm-hmm.
brain.
Mm-hmm.
So there are two main classes.
Sometimes I hear about people being put on both at once. Is that common?
Mm-hmm. So there's been a lot of study and kind of debate in the literature about is it better to be on one mm-hmm. or the other mm-hmm. or both?
Mm-hmm.
And most common practice is doctors will start you on one of the Aricept-type medications mm-hmm. first,
okay.
since that's approved for mild dementia.
Sure.
And then as things progress, they will add on the NMDA type or the Namenda.
Okay.
So that's kind of the most common. The doctor would start with the Aricept, and then as things progress, they would add on the Namenda.
Okay.
But many people don't take both because of side effects mm-hmm. or cost.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's a big factor for sure. So do these medications actually improve the memory, or is it just that they slow the progression?
Again, there's a small minority of people mm-hmm. when they start medication do see an improvement.
Okay.
But the majority of people, it's really just slowing down that progression.
Some of the most common things that I hear are people really struggling, especially in support groups, is it time to stop taking? And they're so afraid of stopping, mm-hmm. you know, because they hear, well, my friend's husband stopped taking, then he declined, and then he never, and then they put him back, but he didn't go back. And so
mm-hmm.
is that something you hear often?
Yes, and it's very hard to know when to stop. It's mm-hmm. difficult to know when to start, but mm-hmm. it's even harder to know when to stop.
Mm-hmm.
As you said, sometimes what will happen is if you stop the medication, there's a sudden decline,
mm-hmm.
and then you restart the medication, you don't get it back.
Mm-hmm.
So you do run that risk if you stop the medication.
Sure.
So I think it's a very difficult decision. You have to be very careful mm-hmm. and thoughtful about the decision.
Okay.
Not to say that it's not a good decision sometimes. I've certainly taken many people off these medications.
Mm-hmm. Sure.
But it's just you need to be kind of careful about it. You shouldn't just do it on your own.
Well, we are going to take a short break. I'm here today with Dr. Jenny Byrne talking about Alzheimer's medications, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM, WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Jenny Byrne on WCHL talking about Alzheimer's Medications 101. And I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Welcome back, Jenny.
Hi.
Hi. Okay. So we were just talking about sort of when a person wants to stop taking this medications, how do you make that decision?
Mm-hmm.
who in the world prescribes these medications?
There's a lot of confusion about this topic,
yeah,
too. Typically, depending kind of on where you live,
okay,
this actually will determine who you see. So in most parts of the country that are more rural or they're not big cities, typically a primary care doctor is the one that's going to start these medications.
All right.
So typical scenario is, you know, you go in, have a memory complaint. They might do a quick pen and paper test to see where your memory's at, talk to you a little bit about what you notice, and then they would suggest to start one of these medications. Now, sometimes it's not that simple, and they may refer you to someone else, typically a neurologist.
Okay.
And the neurologist might get more complicated tests on, or they might do their own exam, and then the neurologist might start the medication. Occasionally, a psychiatrist, like myself, would start these medications.
Okay.
And that's typically someone who maybe presents with something like depression and ends up having more of a memory problem.
Okay.
So sometimes I'll prescribe them as well. But typically a primary care doctor or a neurologist is the one who will start them.
And so your practice is cognitive psychiatry. What exactly do you specialize in?
So my practice specializes in all types of cognitive problems. So when I say cognitive, I mean thinking. So I mean learning, memory, attention.
Okay.
So part of the practice is dedicated to memory loss, which is dementia. And I see many different kinds of memory loss. I tend to see people who have other problems like depression or anxiety or agitation. And that's why they end up coming to see me as a psychiatrist rather than seeing a neurologist.
I've heard you work magic with people who are presenting with some difficult behaviors. Now, I've heard some amazing things, so we're lucky to have you here today.
Thank you.
Okay. So we talked about who prescribes, and typically in this area, it would probably be a neurologist, it sounds like.
In the Triangle part of North Carolina, where we have a lot of academic
maybe
resources.
Maybe a geriatrician.
If you're lucky, a geriatric
specialist.
Yeah,
there aren't very many.
But there really aren't that many.
No. Okay. So how does a person decide that maybe they should start taking them? You know, what are some of the things we'd be looking for, maybe, you know, as a spouse or a son or a daughter?
So the most important thing here, again, was take-home message, is that not all memory loss is Alzheimer's.
Right.
So if you notice someone seems to have problems with their memory, it's not necessarily Alzheimer's. There are types of memory loss which are reversible, and some of those are due to a medical illness. Some of those are due to medications.
Okay.
Some of them are seen in the hospital or during surgery. So if you're observing something, the first thing to do is talk to the primary care doctor.
Okay.
Because they may need to get some blood work done or just, you know, look at their medication list, make sure there's nothing else going on that could be reversed.
Okay.
Another important thing to notice is that much of Alzheimer's dementia, the first symptom is depression. And person will appear depressed and they will be covering up the memory loss or it's not very noticeable yet. So depression actually is more common as a presenting complaint than memory loss.
Okay.
One other important point is that some subtypes of Alzheimer's disease do not start with memory loss. They start with behavioral changes.
Okay.
So trouble remembering how to do things rather than memory per se. So like making dinner or using the car properly. That may show up first. So basically, if you see someone and they seem to have trouble with memory or thinking or remembering how to do things, then I would go to the primary care doctor first.
Okay. That's good to know. All right. How about, so you put on these medications. How do you know if they're working?
This is probably one of the most difficult things of all because, you know, as we said before, they don't really help your memory per se. So it's not like you take them and you see an improvement most of the time. You're just looking for a slowing of the decline.
You're just looking for things to stay the same.
So, you know, honestly, it's almost impossible to say whether they're working or not.
Okay.
There'll be some people that seem to freeze the current level of memory loss for 6 to 12 months, something like that. And that seems like, you know, it looks like it's working. But in most cases, it's very difficult to tell. And even for a doctor, we don't really have a good way to tell.
Yeah.
And that's one of the most frustrating things with these medications.
Well, you don't know what the other you would be like if you weren't on it.
Exactly. And the only way to find out would be to stop, and then things could be worse.
Yeah.
So it's a very, very hard question.
Now, I've often heard that there are a lot of side effects related to these. Is that a reason why people stop? Is it one of those things where, you know, you have a side effect for a little while, like a lot of medications, that goes away, or?
You know, they say that the main side effect with the medications, especially the Aricept type, are GI. So nausea, vomiting, upset stomach.
Nobody wants to do that.
Yeah. So these are very common. I would say in my experience, it's up towards 20 to even 25% of people.
Okay.
So it's a significant number of people. And these can sometimes go away, although in my experience, I've seen them last for quite a while.
Oh, wow.
And in someone who's older and frail and has a lot of other issues, they can be quite significant. Now, the other class of medications, the Namenda-type medicines, tend to have less side effects.
Okay.
They tend to be more like dizziness or headache, but less frequent, which is one of the reasons I actually like that class of medications.
Is one class more effective than another?
Nope. The main difference between the classes is that the Aricept type medications have been approved from mild all the way to severe.
Okay.
And Namenda has only been approved for moderate to severe.
Okay. So that's the big difference.
That's the main difference. Cost is still an
issue. Up there, yeah.
Now, you know, Aricept, the donepezil, is generic, so that's not as expensive.
That just was last year.
Recent.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
then Namenda is still brand name and still very expensive.
Okay.
So cost can be quite different.
Wow.
Depending on your insurance plan.
How about non-medical interventions? Are there any?
Yes. And I think it's very important to point out to people that there are non-medical interventions.
You're almost, I used to hear about a medical food. You don't hear those commercials anymore. I'm wondering why.
There was a big push in this area for this medical food called Axona.
Yes, yeah, that's the name of it.
Mm-hmm. And the bottom line, my take on the Axona is that it can be effective for a certain subclass of Alzheimer's.
Okay.
But the only way to know that would be to take a genetic test,
okay.
which most doctors don't really have access to.
Mm-hmm.
Also, they have a lot of GI side effects as well.
Yeah. Okay.
So, and it's not cheap.
No.
Even though it's called a food, it's actually as much as a medication. In terms of other non-medication things you can do, I always point out to people that this can make the biggest difference in your day-to-day life.
Mm-hmm.
So sleep.
Mm-hmm.
Many people with Alzheimer's have altered sleep schedules where they tend to stay up too late and sleep during the day.
Mm-hmm.
Getting sleep on track is very, very important. Diet, I think, you know, I read a lot about diet in the press. I think it's important, but I think, you know, kind of moderate and common sense.
More of a preventative part, maybe, versus a.
Yeah, I mean, you know, and people ask me about alcohol quite a bit. And, you know, half a glass of wine once in a while, I don't think is the end of the world.
Yeah.
But drinking large quantities, obviously, could be a problem. So kind of common sense with the diet.
Okay.
The one biggest intervention that you can do is move your body.
Exercise. Oh, no, not that again.
The evidence just keeps going back to us over and over again. If you think about your brain as part of your body,
it needs oxygen,
blood flow,
too.
It needs oxygen, just like your muscles everywhere else. If you want your brain to work optimally, you want to get good oxygen out
there. Gotta get moving.
So anything you do, even if it's just stretching, is better than nothing. So even if you're in a wheelchair and you can't move, at least you can stretch.
Okay.
That's better than nothing.
Well, we're going to take a quick break. I'm here today with Dr. Jenny Byrne talking about Alzheimer's Medications 101 on WCHL, and we will be right back.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno on 97.9 FM WCHL, supported by Home Watch Caregivers. Now, more of Caring Connections.
Welcome back. I'm here today with Dr. Jenny Byrne talking about Alzheimer's Medications 101 on WCHL, and I'm your host, Nicole Bruno. Well, Jenny, in the last few minutes that we have, I thought it might be good to talk a little bit about the research that's currently being done on Alzheimer's disease. Are you aware of some up-and-coming things? I know you mentioned the vaccine briefly.
This is something that I've been particularly interested in, and a lot of my patients ask me about. There is a lot of research going on.
Mm.
And unfortunately, not much of it has prove successful mm-hmm. or put anything new on the market. But there is a lot of research out there which focuses on different proteins that we think are involved in Alzheimer's. You might have heard of amyloid.
Mm-hmm.
Basically, the idea is that in Alzheimer's, you get clumps of proteins mm-hmm. in the brain
okay.
that destroy the brain's ability to work correctly, and they're called plaques and tangles. So there's a whole pathway that's been uncovered about how those plaques and tangles come to develop.
Okay.
So there's many different places on the pathway to target interventions. So preventing damage in the first place is kind of the ideal.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the studies right now are looking at ways to have a vaccine of sorts that will prevent the proteins from building up in the first place.
Okay.
Some of the other targets are pathways that break down the bad proteins, so we want to try to speed that up so the body can clear them faster.
Sure, sure.
And then there's some really interesting research on other parts of the brain, like the glutamate pathways. So without going into all the biochemistry, because it's very...
mind-boggling.
Yeah, the names are just too much. But basically, just think about there's a whole pathway before these plaques and tangles build up.
Okay.
And the more we learn, the earlier we're able to predict if someone's going to have this problem. So a lot of the research coming up is going to focus more on prevention.
That's good.
Which is actually, I'm very happy to see.
Yeah.
Because a cure is good, obviously.
But it would be great if we never had it to begin with.
Exactly. If we could prevent it in the first place, that would be ideal. So I think that's where a lot of the research is going to be.
Okay. Wonderful. How about resources for people who want more information about all the things you talked to us about today?
So online is a great resource, but also there's a lot of misinformation.
Yes.
Of
course.
Oh,
my goodness.
So some of the more reputable sites, I think, that have a nice basic introduction to this are the NIH, the National Institute of Health
okay.
website.
So people could Google that.
Mm-hmm. You could Google Alzheimer's disease or Alzheimer's medications facts, and they would come up with that. The Alzheimer's
Association,
I always forget the title, also has some really good basic fact sheets on their website. Mayo Clinic mm-hmm. Has a nice basic fact sheet. Mayo Clinic is something that looks at many, many different types
disease.
Of health
yeah.
issues,
mm-hmm.
but I thought their summary was pretty nice. If you want to kind of get some of my ideas on the topic, I have a blog on my
Great.
Website
yeah.
for cognitive psychiatry where I talk about research articles I've been reading
okay.
or what I observe. And then finally, in terms of a book, if you want to have an actual book, the Johns Hopkins Guide to Understanding Dementia is,
okay.
is more thorough, and it's a book that you can actually order
Hold on
and,
to.
and have, which some people prefer.
Wonderful. Any parting thoughts before we end for the day?
I just would say that I'm happy to see more people are getting treated for this and understanding what Alzheimer's is, mm-hmm. but there's a lot of stigma out there, and so I just encourage people not to be scared.
Mm-hmm.
If you think you have a problem or someone you know has a problem, try to get past the fear and get into a doctor and talk with them because, as I said, some types of memory loss are even reversible. So
sure.
just try to get past the fear and get some treatment and get some advice.
And if somebody wants to connect directly with you, how would they go about doing that?
You can get me through my website, which is www.cognitive, I know this is C-O-G-N-I-T-I-V-E, hyphen psychiatry, psychiatry.com.
Okay.
My phone number is 919-636-5240. I'm in my office Monday through Friday, and I do see patients every day of the week, and I see patients with Alzheimer's quite frequently, so...
Wonderful. Well, thank you for joining Dr. Jenny Byrne and I today as we discuss Alzheimer's Medications 101 on WCHL. And as always, you may email your caregiving issues to caring@1360wchl.com.
The purpose of Caring Connections is to educate listeners to help improve the quality of life for families, for professional caregivers, as well as those people affected with Alzheimer's disease.
Caring Connections with Nicole Bruno is supported by Home Watch Caregivers. You can hear this and any other program of Caring Connections on WCHL's website, chapelboro.com. Be sure to email questions to caring@1360wchl.com. Caring Connections is a presentation of 97.9 FM, WCHL, Chapel Hill Carborough's news, talk, and Tar Heel station.